Hello, folks. We're back for another episode of the Redeemed Marriage Podcast. We're so glad that you have joined us today. We're going to be talking some more about those red flags, those warning signs, but this time we're not going to be talking about what to do when you see those in your spouse. We're actually going to be talking about what you do when you see those inside yourself. So we're going to jump straight into today's topic, so stay tuned.
I am so passionate and excited about this topic because I wish that I had heard this podcast 11 years ago, almost 12 years ago. Mm-hmm. I just feel like that this has the potential of changing someone's heart in the way that if they allow God to use it, they could be changed to where they may not ever walk through what we walked through. And I just think that there's something exciting about that, that there's hopefully somebody out there that's listening that's going to go, wow, yeah, that's me, and I need to do something about it. So yeah. Anyway, so last week, if you'll remember, we talked a lot about what to do when your spouse, when you see red flag, there's something about your spouse that makes you check up, you're like, ooh, that's a red flag. That's kind of scary. That makes me uncomfortable. And what to do, how to approach it, when to approach it, making sure it's not something in you before you talk to your spouse about it. And so if you didn't hear last week's episode, I would encourage you to go back and listen to that for sure. But this week, what I went ahead and claimed last week, because this is kind of how we do it. Rusty or I will say, hey, why don't we talk about this? And it comes from maybe somebody's asked a question. Maybe it's something we're learning in our own studies of the Bible or marriage books or whatever. Or it could just be something that God's teaching us. Mm-hmm. But a lot of times topics come from people asking questions, and I think, or our coaching sessions that we have.
Lots of times we'll coach.
Yeah. And so we'll just say, hey, let's talk about this over the next couple of weeks or whenever. And so you asked me to make notes and jot down some thoughts about red flags. Well, I knew what you meant. I knew red flags for your spouse, but all of a sudden my thoughts turned and my notes, my journaling changed to what happens when you have red flags in yourself and what to do with those. Like if you go, oh, that's alarming, or why am I thinking about that? Or, you know, and that, I mean, the Holy Spirit does that in us. Like he gets our attention and it's like, Why are you thinking that? And it's what we choose to do with it. So I decided last week and just kind of told you, we're going to talk about that this week. So I hope that this is super helpful for somebody out there. You know, one of the first things that I think is important to say is that thoughts in general that come into our minds are not sin. Like the thought that comes into our mind is not sin. I mean, we are sinners, and so we're going to have, the enemy's going to put something in our mind, or our flesh is going to think of something that may not be God-honoring, and that thought coming into our mind is not the sin. It's what we choose to do with it, and when those thoughts come into your mind that may not be God-honoring, you have a choice to whether you're going to dwell on that and let that change your thought process and how you do life, or you're going to take that thought captive and make it obedient to Christ. Mm-hmm. And I think that for so many of us, those thoughts that come into our minds that are red flags, and we can give some examples of those in a minute, but things that come into our minds, it's what we choose to do with them that is important. And so as we talk about these red flags and some examples and what you can possibly do with it, that's the part that I want to make sure we covered first, is that it's what you do with it, with the thoughts.
Yeah, that's good. So what if somebody, okay, well, let me ask you this. Do you think that when thoughts pop into our head, or maybe there's a temptation or something, I mean, do we always see them as red flags?
No, I wouldn't think. I don't think so. I'm going to contradict myself, because I think that the initial thought is definitely, I think you check up, but you just convince yourself that it's okay. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that happens really quickly, like, oh, this is no big deal. And then you don't think about it again in that way at all. I definitely think that if you are a believer and you are seeking the Lord, that the Holy Spirit, I mean, like, that's why he's there, is to put those checks in our spirit. But I also think that if you ignore them and say it's okay and say this is no big deal over and over and over again, then that just leads to apathy and not really caring about it at all.
Mm-hmm.
And then that then leads to the next step and the next step.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So that, I mean, I just had thought about that, because I was like, well, what if somebody says, well, yeah, I did something that I shouldn't have done, but I never felt a red flag, or I never felt a check or something. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I agree with you too. I do think that there's, especially for those of us that are believers, when a thought, you know, or a temptation of some sort pops into your head, that initial, you just get that prompting of the Holy Spirit, and you just know, you know, I don't need, but then you just convince yourself, yeah, it's okay. Or,
yeah,
I mean, go back to the Garden of Eden.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's exactly what happened. I mean, there was Eve responded and said, no, I'm not supposed to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And then Satan kept going with it.
Yeah.
Oh, no, it's fine. Oh, okay. Well, maybe it is fine.
Like, did God really say that? Mm-hmm. And, you know, he even said he contradicted exactly what God said. I think we talked about that mm-hmm. last week.
Yeah.
That he says, that God said, just don't eat from that or you will surely die. Mm-hmm. And then the enemy says, you will not surely die.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not just a, oh, this might be. I mean, he just completely went against what God said.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that a lot of times it starts off, some examples of red flags. And I'm not even saying that these are necessary. I mean, I'll own up to the ones that I thought, but I also have heard other people say these things that have gone down a path of unfaithfulness. I think it starts with recognizing, I mean, I think that there's some alerts of that other people can make you feel good about yourself. Other men. And, you know, if somebody says, if a man compliments you or says how pretty you are.
Or a female, or, in my case.
Yes, or a female in your case. Somebody of the opposite
right.
sex compliments you. Or, you know, and I don't mean, like, I just think that you have to know the difference between innocent ones and then ones that kind of stir something in you.
Mm-hmm.
Because if I said to another man, and I have said this even recently to, oh, I like your haircut. I mean, I'm just being like, that's just a fine, nothing's wrong with that compliment. But if in you that sparks something like, oh, you know, she noticed my hair or something mm-hmm. like that, then that's something in you that's like, ooh, we might need to, you know, check up on that. And why did that make me feel that way? You see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And so compliment.
What do you think? So, I mean, like, I know that. I know that's when you compliment, and you do that because you're a nice person.
And I notice details, too.
And I think that I do that not near as much.
Mm-hmm.
But what if that causes that person to go, oh, man. I mean, my wife didn't even recognize my haircut.
Yeah.
Like, what? Like, how do you feel about that?
Well, I think that, I think that that's on that person, mm-hmm. that they allow something so surfacey mm-hmm. to take root and to, I just was saying, oh, I like your haircut. Like, mm-hmm. I see what you're asking. I'm just fumbling over my words here.
But
it's okay. I mean, I see what you're saying. Like, should I not compliment somebody in case they take it the wrong way? Mm-hmm. But I don't think that's normal.
Right.
To not speak, good things into people's lives.
Right.
And I mean, you don't want to go to the extreme.
I think that where that needs to come back and land is you need to be really sensitive to your spouse. And we posted some things this week on social media about that, just about if your spouse thinks you're flirting, mm-hmm. then you're probably flirting.
Right, absolutely.
And I know that that's not always the case because in a situation like this, where if we were just in public, in a public place, and you said to another guy, oh, I like your haircut. Well, if then I turn around and I'm like, hey, don't say that to people. Mm-hmm. Like, is that me then? Is that on me? Or do you need to check up at that point and go, oh, gosh.
Well, I think if it bothers you, mm-hmm. then yes, I have to check up.
But I think that's what I'm saying, I guess maybe in a little bit of a contradiction to our post this week, which I do, there's certainly some truth to that. If your spouse thinks that you're flirting with somebody, mm-hmm. then there needs to, you need to check up.
Right, right.
But it could be something that's just an extreme, like there's some extreme jealousy or mm-hmm. something that's in, mm-hmm. That would be in my heart.
Right.
So,
right.
I'm just talking through all of this because I'm thinking about it as we're talking about it, because red flags, like, it all goes back to what you said. There's so much of this is like, all right, well, it comes in your head, it comes in, and then what are you going to do with it? And like, I even wonder for myself if I'm just trying to be nice and I go, oh, I really like your dress. I think when I do that, though, I think sometimes there's a little in me that's like, ooh, I shouldn't have done that.
Right.
And I don't know if that's right. I mean, honestly, I'm not sure if that's right or wrong because there's no impure motives on my mm-hmm. part. Mm-hmm. But then I start thinking, oh, gosh, well, what if you thought that I was being flirty? And what if they were like, oh, thank you, in their head, I'm so glad you gave me a compliment because I never get compliments. They don't say that.
Right,
but,
right.
And so I think those things make me have checks, and I don't know if they should, to be honest.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's just a result of what's happened in our marriage, and I don't know. Yeah. I just think that there's people out there that have lots of thoughts and questions about, red flags and handling them and what you're supposed to do with them. And so, I don't know, while we were talking about it, I was like, well, here's some of my thoughts.
I think that a lot of that, I want to say it depends on the person and mm-hmm. their circumstances and what they've walked through and all of that. To me, if I'm saying I like your haircut or your haircut looks good, I know that person in a way that I see them all the time. Like they're, one of our friends.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, you got your haircut. Looks nice. But I like your dress. That can imply like, I like the way you look in that dress, and you have to be careful who you say that to. Cause like you're saying, what if you say that to a person that their husband hadn't even complimented them?
Right. That's what I'm
Like that's exactly what you, I know you were implying mm-hmm. that, if I never get compliments, thank you for that. And then all of a sudden there's that little tie to you.
Right.
And so, I mean, yes, I think we have to be careful, but I also, to my point, is you can't be responsible for everybody's reactions and thoughts and where their mind goes or their hearts go based on your words either. You know, it's kind of like the dressing thing for teenagers. There's this whole debate out there about, you know, moms of boys who are like, oh my gosh, just cover up your boobs and your butt. Like, quit doing that to my son. Like, why are you trying to get up? But then the moms of the girls are like, well, I mean, the boys have to learn to control their eyes and their thoughts. And, you know, I mean, it's all just blaming other people for it. But sorry, that's a whole nother topic. But
we just live in a sick world, don't we? I just think that, well, and I was listening, you know, we've had Trey and Lee Morgan on our show before, and we highly respect them. And I think that they were talking maybe a couple of weeks ago on one of their podcasts about, you know, being careful about flirting with somebody of the opposite sex. And he even said that, you know, his personality is just, you know, way different from hers. And he's just always complimentary of people. Mm-hmm. And that sometimes he has to kind of take a check, and she has to, you know, she has to say, hey, be careful, that kind of thing. And it's nothing that he's doing. I mean, he's a pastor of a church. He's being nice and kind. But yeah, I think it's just that, I think a big part of this is boundaries. And when you start butting up against those boundaries and you get a check and then you don't really do anything, then you're just moving into that boundary space a little bit. And then it just gets more and more.
Yeah. Well, and that's the whole point of today's podcast is when you feel that check, what do you do with it?
Yeah.
I mean, we could spend so much more time on what happens if you don't feel the check.
Yeah. So what do you do? Yeah. I mean,
well, I can just look back and think, and I mean, I'm talking about probably years of just this slow, gradual thought process that I can look back on and think, yeah, I probably was thinking that's not the best idea. For example, if it was, I mean, like we've talked about some of this before, but like if you ever catch yourself thinking, I wonder what it would be like to be married to somebody like that. I mean, that's not okay. Mm-hmm. Like you cannot follow that train of thought or you're going to get yourself in trouble. Mm-hmm. And it's not even specifically one person. I wonder what it would be like to be married to somebody that has more money.
Well, it's just fantasizing about something different than what you have or somebody.
Right.
Like you said, it's not necessarily something specific or somebody specific, but it just could be, gosh, if I wonder what it would be like to be married to a wife that's like this or that, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah. And like you said, it doesn't even have to start out with somebody specific, just in general, you know, what it would be like I just said, somebody with more money or somebody that had a different career or, you know, somebody who was more involved in their children's lives. I mean, it can take lots of thoughts, you know, different twists and things. Of course, I never thought about you. I never thought that about you as far as the kids. You were an amazing dad. But I can see where, like, if you're just at the soccer field and you see a dad, like, or a wife coaching the teams, and you're like, oh, I wonder what it'd be like to be married to somebody who was really involved in their kid with their kids. I mean, you see what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I'm just trying to give examples, and we could fill in a million blanks with that. I mean, what it would be like to be married to somebody like that. Mm-hmm. And so what have you thought about? What as you're listening to this, what are some thoughts that you might have thought about that might, you just wonder what it'd be different, what it would be like to have something different mm-hmm. and obviously better in your mind mm-hmm. than what you have. And so when you think of things like that, this is what I need you to hear me say. You cannot keep that in the darkness. And that's what I did. When I would have thoughts like that, I would keep them in the darkness because it was embarrassing. I didn't want to admit it to anybody. It was like, I just had a thought. Like, that's no big deal. And I maybe not have that thought again for months and months and months. Mm-hmm. But what I know to be true from this side of things is that the enemy wants nothing more than for us to keep things in the dark. Mm-hmm. Nothing more. Because they can be hidden and they can grow in the dark and they can continue. You can talk yourself out of it like, oh, it's not that big of a deal. I got this under control. They're just thoughts. Like, that's what he wants, nothing more than that. If they are brought into the light, then there's power in that. Mm-hmm. And so things like that have to be spoken. Okay, who do you say things like that to? And that's important because you obviously don't want to tell your spouse, hey, sorry, but I had a thought today about what if I was married to somebody mm-hmm. with more money? Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't do that. So who are your people? Like, who are your people that you can trust enough to go to and say, hey, I just am having these weird thoughts and I don't want them. Like, mm-hmm. can you pray with me? Yeah. Can you, but then again, Rusty, you know that I am adamant about this. You can always mm-hmm. find somebody.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say.
You can always find somebody that will tell you what you want to hear. Mm-hmm. You can go to somebody that's going to go, oh, girl, that's no big deal. I have those feelings all the time.
Or that says, well, I don't blame you for thinking that. Yeah. He don't ever do this. Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, you have every right to feel that way. Mm-hmm. He never helps you out. Oh, that's a whole nother one. Like, what would it be like to be married to somebody that helps around the house? Mm-hmm. Or what would it be like to be married to somebody where I didn't have to work? I mean, there's so many thoughts that you can chase. But if you go to somebody who's just going to tell you what you want to hear, they're not the friend that you need to be talking to. Mm. You have got to find somebody that is going to speak truth into your life and encourage you towards honoring God with your thoughts and your decisions and your words, all of those things. Mm-hmm. And so think about who your people are. And because I wonder, what would my life have looked like if I had a Penny D's or a godly best friend that I have now? What would it be like if I went to them mm-hmm. 13 years ago? Because 13 years ago would have been when all these thoughts probably started, if not before, and said, hey, I just don't know what's going on with me. I'm kind of dwelling in the what if. And if they were able to speak truth into my life over that mm-hmm. and pray with me about that, then it doesn't get bigger and bigger and bigger. It stops.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, that's good. I was trying to think of just like, how do you fight this? Because, I think that people probably have red flags or warning signs, and maybe they're not warning signs or red flags that are like, oh my gosh, you're about to, commit adultery mm-hmm. or something like that. It's just slipping into some sort of pattern that you've kind of, is not supposed to be there. And how do you keep from even getting there? And I think that a big part of that is just doing almost every day sort of this self-reflection almost of, hey, what did anything happen during today that I just need to make sure that it doesn't happen again, or I don't move any closer or take any steps closer to that. And like I said, so much of that is you know what your boundaries are. And so if you start bumping up against those boundaries, then it's a good time, you know, each day to go, yeah, that I probably got a little close to a boundary. I'm not doing that again. Mm-hmm. And if you need to share that with somebody for accountability purposes, even sharing it with your spouse, because there are plenty of things that you could share with your that you could share with your spouse for accountability purposes.
Yeah, yeah. And I also think along those same line, I mean, along that same, you can tell it is late. My words are not going together. But just being able to go to somebody and be honest with them and just confess to what those thoughts are. And you know, it could be as something as simple as, we heard a sermon one time called Don't Even Go to the Coffee Pot, mm-hmm. Where somebody, if you catch yourself going to the coffee pot at the office at a certain time every day because you know somebody's going to be there, that is a huge red flag.
Yeah, yeah.
In your spirit. Mm-hmm. That has nothing to do with your spouse seeing it. I mean, that's in you. Mm-hmm. And it's, okay, what do I do with that?
Yeah.
Like, what? Because it's so easy to start down the I deserve train.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I deserve somebody that encourages me. I deserve somebody that tells me I look pretty. That woman said how handsome I looked in my suit. When's the last time my wife said that? Mm. I'm going to revisit that because mm-hmm. that makes me feel good.
You know, I think a good example of this, I have a friend that had a problem with alcohol, and he had to go out of town for business purposes, and he paid someone to go with him, like from his staff, so that he could not be alone in a hotel room, mm-hmm. and just another guy that, because he was like, that's when so much of that would happen. Mm-hmm. And so I think that those kind of things are just, you stop them before they ever even start. I mean, that's a red flag that didn't even have to, you know, it never even took any kind of root, because it's like, no, you know, I'm not going somewhere by myself.
Right.
You know, it's just those things that you set those boundaries in place, and then you don't compromise at all.
And, you know, we've talked to somebody once that had a problem with pornography, and he would call ahead to the hotel room and get him to take the TV out of his room. Now, he was way healthy in a point that he could say no, but why have that temptation there?
I remember Craig Groeschel saying that the first thing he would do when he would get to a hotel room by himself was unplug the TV, just unplug it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I don't turn on the TV when I'm by myself, but it's unless there's football games going
on. That's right.
But, I mean, like, I was in a hotel room for the last two nights. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, I don't even know where the remote control is. Mm-hmm. And it's not, I haven't had any problems with that, but I know way too many people that have.
Yeah.
It's sort of like the whole, I mean, even with like alcohol and stuff, like I just know way too many people that have had problems. And so I have things that I have really strict boundaries. I mean, even like with us and our marriage, you know, there's people that probably think that I'm crazy for some of the boundaries that I have, or you know, even at this point, but we have to, and we have to honor those because we just know. We know what can happen.
We know what can happen. We know where it can lead. Mm-hmm. And we know that there are no innocent first steps.
That's right.
That if you think, oh, this is nothing, it's just a thought, it's just I wonder, it makes me happy, you know, there's no innocent first steps. Mm-hmm. They all lead to destruction, whether it is, you know, some simple little steps at the beginning, or if you're taking big steps. So just when you be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I ask almost daily, if not more than once a day, I just ask the Lord to make me sensitive to his voice. Like the enemy, I feel like the enemy yells so loud sometimes. Mm. And you know, and I just imagine my Heavenly Father with just this kind, even whisper of a voice. And I pray often, and these are my exact words, is that his whisper would be louder than anything the enemy yells at me. And just to be sensitive to his nudgings and his prompts, and to just help me to never miss a red flag.
Well, and then, of course, the crazy part about that is that when you do get yourself into some sort of a mess and you go back and you think, well, gosh, if God would have just said, and then you go, oh, wait, that was him screaming at me.
Exactly.
And I was just ignoring
it. Okay, I know everybody who is listening has probably heard this, but it is the perfect example of what this means. The flood.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the town that is flooded, city that's flooded, and the man standing, you know, on his sidewalk, and here comes the water. And he's like, it's okay, God's going to save me. And somebody comes by in a boat, and they're like, hey, you want to get in? He says, no, I'm good, God's going to save me. And the water keeps rising, and he goes upstairs to the upstairs thing, and, you know, all these different things come. The helicopter, he ends up on the roof, and all these people come try to save me, and he ends up drowning. And he gets up to heaven, and
just a true story.
No, but I can see in your eyes that you're so scared I'm going to mess this up.
Oh no, yeah, I completely know that's what's going to happen, because what happens is you start these stories like this, and then you start messing it up, and you try to turn it over to me, and I'm like, I don't even know the story you're going to tell, but you want me to make something up. But I actually do know this story,
because I'm terrible at telling jokes and stories. But anyway, and so the guy says, why didn't you save me, God? Like, I was counting on you. And he said, I sent you a boat, and I sent you a helicopter, and I sent you all these things. But all that to say that God tries. I mean, he gives us prompts, but we just have to listen to him.
That's right.
Did I mess up the story too bad?
You didn't mess it up
too
bad.
I just didn't crush it.
Well, you never crush stories, but you could tell I was shutting you off because I just started the music. I was like, we got to shut this down before she starts telling more stories. And then we'd have to go.
Oh, that's not it. There's a
wall. All right. Hey,
there we go.
She just pushed all the buttons. All right. Hey, thanks, guys, for listening. We'll see y'all next week.